Cassette 11, Side 2.
Chapter 94. Streaker.
We're ready. He made the announcement quite matter-of-factly.
Jillian looked up from the hollow display. Hanna Suessi gave Jillian a two-fingered salute from the door jamb. Light from the bright hallway cast a stark trapezoid onto the floor of the dimly lit room.
The impedance matchings?
He asked.
All darn near perfect. In fact, when we get back to Earth, I'm going to suggest we buy a bunch of old hulls from the Thenanin to refit all snarks with. We'll be slow, doubly so, because of all the water in the central bay, but Streaker will lift, fly, and warp, and it'll take a hell of a punch to pound through the outer shell.
Jillian put one foot on the desk.
There's still a lot of punch out there, Hannes.
He'll fly. As for the rest, the engineer shrugged. The only constraint I'd suggest is that you let the engineering staff get an hour or so under sleep machines, if you don't want a sagging on takeoff. And other than that, it's up to you now, Madame Captain.
He stopped her before she could speak.
And don't go looking to us for any advice either, Jillian. You've been doing too good a job so far. Neither Tish nor I are going to say anything but, aye, aye, sir, and jump when you say so.
Jillian closed her eyes and nodded. All right,
he said softly. Hannes looked through the open door from her office to Jillian's laboratory. He knew about the ancient cadaver. He had been there to help Tom Orley bring it back to the ship. Glimpsing a silhouette suspended within a glass case, he shivered and turned away.
Jillian's hollow display showed a small ping-pong ball-sized representation of Kithrop, and a scattering of small BBs as the planet's moons. Two clusters of blue and red dots were accompanied by tiny computer code letters suspended in space.
Don't seem like too many of the nasty buggers are left, Suessi commented.
Those are just the ships in nearby space. An expanded view about a cubic astron shows two still substantial galactic squadrons. We can't actually identify the fleets from neutrino fluxes, of course, but the battle computer assigns colors on the basis of movement, and they're still changing alliances out there. Also, there's a plethora of survivors hiding out on the moons.
Uessi pursed his lips. Almost, he asked the question that was on everyone's mind, but he bit it back. Jillian answered anyway.
There's still been no word from Tom.
She looked at her hands.
Until now, we didn't really have any use for the information, but...
He paused. But now we've got to know whether taking off would be suicide. Duessi finished her thought. He noticed Jillian was studying the display again.
You're trying to figure it out for yourself, aren't you?
Jillian shrugged.
Go get that hour, Hannes, or 3 or 10. Tell your friend to take their naps at their stations and toggle their sleep machines to the bridge.
He frowned as she looked at the drifting dots.
I may be wrong. We may wind up choosing the lesser evil, hiding down here until our gums start turning blue from metal poisoning. Or we starve. But I have a feeling, a hunch, we may have to act soon.
She shook her head.
And what about Toshio and Hikaki and the others?
Jillian did not answer. No answer was necessary. After a moment, Suessi turned and left. He closed the door behind him.
Dots. No more could be resolved by Streaker's passive sensors than drifting dots that occasionally came together in sparkling swarms and separated smaller in number.
The battle computer went over the patterns and drew tentative conclusions. but the answer she needed was never there.
Would the surviving fleets be indifferent to the sudden reappearance of a long-lost Thenanin cruiser, or would they join forces to swat it out of the sky?
The decision lay with her. Never had Jillian felt so alone.
"Where are you, boy? You live, I know. I can feel your distant breath. What are you doing right now?"
To her left, a green light started flashing.
"Yes," she told the comlink. "Dr. Baskin?"
It was the voice of Wanaseti calling from the bridge.
"Hikahi calls. She is at the relay, and she has Crydike. Put her through."
There was a hiss as the operator raised the gain on the attenuated signal.
"Jillian, is that you?" "Yes, Hikahi. Thank God. You all right? And Crydike still at the relay?" "We are both quite well, Life Cleaner. From what the Fen on the bridge tell us, you don't seem to need us there at all." "They're damned patron-sucking liars, and I wouldn't trade a one of them away for my left arm. Listen, we're missing 5 crew Fen. You should be warned. 2 are atavistic and highly dangerous."
The line hissed for a long moment. Then,
"All are accounted for, Jillian,"
came the reply at last.
4 of them are dead."
Jillian covered her eyes.
"Dear Lord." "Kipiro is with us,"
Hikahi answered her unasked question.
"Poor Aki,"
Jillian sighed.
"Send word to Calafia that he did his duty. Kipiro says he was defiant and sentient till the end."
Jillian did not like the implication of Hikahi's message.
"Hikahi, you're in command now. We need you back here now. I am this instant officially handing over—"
"Don't, Jillian,"
the fluting voice interrupted.
"Please, not yet. There are still things to be done with the skiff. Those on the island must be recovered, and the Kikui volunteers."
"I'm not sure we'll have time, Hikahi."
The words were bitter as she spoke them. She thought of Bright, ever self-deprecating Denny Sudman, of the erudite Saud, and Toshio, though very young and noble.
"Has Tatam called? Is there an emergency?"
"Neither yet, but—"
"Then what?"
She couldn't explain. She tried in trinary. "What a piercing sound I hear. The peal of bugles, engines rising, the tears of love abandoned. Soon, so very soon." There was a long silence from the skiff. Then it was not Hikahi's voice, but Crydike's that answered. In his repetitious, simply phrased trinary, there was something Jillian could only catch a hint of, something deep and a little eerie. "Sounds, all sounds, answer something, acts, all acts, make sounds, but duty, all duty, call silently." Jillian didn't breathe as she listened to Crydike's last note fall away. Her spine was chilled.
"Bye, Jillian," Hikahi said. "You do what you have to. We'll be back quick as we can, but don't wait for us." "Hikahi!"
Jillian reached for the comm link, but the carrier wave cut off before she could say another word. Chapter 95. Toshio.
"Both airlocks are bolted from the inside,"
Toshio panted when he returned to the hiding place.
"Looks like we try it your way."
Charles Dart nodded.